T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. It is a draft day. Draft night in Philadelphia. Well, actually in Detroit. But the Eagles, we know, hold the 22nd pick. Phillies, ugly loss last night. We'll get to leading off before the afternoon game today. And, of course, it is a huge Game 3, pivotal Game 3. Sixers, Celtics tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Listen. Don't say or do something today that could potentially get you fired. That's the advice for
them. Well, that's a good advice for all of us with microphones in front of us for a lot of the day. Yeah,
and well, I was thinking about Jerry Jones yesterday.
Well, that's true.
I don't give a shit.
Don't say nothing to get you fired.
Good idea. Job. And we're going to have a lot of on-air time today. Hugh and I doing this show now, obviously, and then lead up to the Phillies game this afternoon. Back on tonight for draft coverage from Lincoln Financial Field. And that's top of mind this morning. The Philadelphia Eagles, this draft, the 22nd pick, but all of the rumors out there say the Eagles are not going to stay at 22, that Howie Roseman is looking to trade up. He's talking moving up. He's calling all the teams in front of him. And the question is, what is he going up for? And what should he be going up for? Couple interesting things this morning here on WIP. First, Howard Eskin talking about the potential for a trade up and what they could be after.
Is there a rumor? No, I think those are the positions. The position of offensive line and corner are the positions that the Eagles really want. Now, if they get to 22 and nothing can happen, they're going to take the best player available. And that's,
you say
that's
if it. They get to 22, how likely is it that they trade up?
Oh, I think there's a 70% chance they trade, at least 70%.
Wow. At least 70. Whoa.
Yes.
Book it.
Yes.
Well, that's a big number. Big number. Howard feeling a trade up tonight. So we heard Howard there. He said O-line corner. A lot of these mocks have either O-line, corner. Elliott also on the morning show talking about what they could be trading up for tonight.
So I think the biggest smokescreen going around right now is that the Eagles want to trade up for a cornerback. Now, will they take a cornerback at 22? Could they move up to 20 to take one? Sure, maybe. But I think going into tonight, if the Eagles trade up, it'll be for an offensive lineman and not for a cornerback. I think the special players in this draft are on the offensive line. They're not at cornerback. And the one thing I've consistently heard and consistently believed since the season ended is that in this draft, they want an offensive lineman. So we'll see how the draft falls. It's one of the more unpredictable drafts that I've covered. But the one thing I feel confident in is that they're prioritizing offensive line over cornerback tonight.
And I think that's the right way to go. Here's where I'm at. 215-592-9494. If the Eagles trade up tonight, I would rather trade up for an offensive lineman rather than a cornerback for a couple of reasons. One, the Eagles are just better at drafting offensive linemen. I just trust them drafting an offensive lineman. And if they're trading up, you're giving an extra asset to move up to wherever they go, 12, 15, I don't know, whatever pick they move to. I just trust their evaluation of offensive linemen way more than I do Howie's evaluation of seeing young corners. So I think they have a better shot to hit the pick if it's an offensive lineman. And the way I see this is if they're going to trade up, all right, go get a stud offensive lineman. I could just sit at 22, and I think there'll be a corner there that could play, whether it be Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins. I'll just sit at 22 and take the corner if I'm going to take a corner. If they're trading up, I would rather trade up for the offensive lineman. It's a big hole on the roster. There's questions of depth behind what they have. And they just lost, like, I'll make it as simple as this. The best player they lost this offseason was on the offensive line. So I'm okay if they prioritize moving up to secure another good offensive lineman Hugh, what do you think? It sounds like they're trying to move up. What would you rather move up for, corner or O-line?
You know what? Between the choices you gave me, you know the only offensive player I want is the one that catches the football or Brock Bowers. Those are the only two I want. So with this choices that you gave me, Joe, I definitely want a corner. I want the sexy pick. Offensive lineman does not move the meter for me. I understand everything that you're saying, but with all the weapons that we have and everything, I feel like this offensive line is good enough to protect Jalen Hurts. I understand what you're talking about, you know, Jason Kelce being gone and all of this stuff. But if I'm going to move all the way up, I need somebody that's going to get this fan base excited. I need that sexy pick. If you move all the way up there to like 12 to 15, I need a corner.
So you're telling me it's not going to be exciting if they draft Fuaga or Fontanu at number 12?
Not at all.
Well, you know what? And listen,
you know what some of the best offensive linemen are? The ones you hear nothing about.
You're right about that. Well, that Siri's in on this. You're right about that. It doesn't have to be a sexy pick to be an offensive lineman, but I don't care about that. Like, it's not going to make me any more excited if they take someone cool tonight. I want them to win football games in September. When they go to Brazil and play the Packers, I need to make sure they can block for Jalen Hurts. I got you and Kyle every day telling me how much offense matters. Offense, offense, offense. Well, you know what? Saquon Barkley's not going to work well or to the extent we want him to if they can't block up front. I think offensive line right now is as thin as I've seen the Eagles' offensive line in a very long time.
I hear you, but I think it's functional. You know what I mean?
But functional's not going to win a Super Bowl.
I think functional can win a Super Bowl. I think it really can. And I think what we're looking for now is either some help at the corner spot, if we go with a young guy, between the two choices that you gave me, or another pass-catching entity, whether that be tight end, well, I should say tight end, Brock Bowers, or receiver, because that's the guy that I want. I want Brock Bowers.
So here's where I'm at on this. I and you've heard me say a lot, defense, defense, defense. But if I'm trading up, I'm getting an offensive lineman. I could just sit at 22 and take a corner. We've gone all through a million mock drafts. We had our mock off yesterday. All these mock drafts, McKinstry's there at 22, Nate Wiggins is there at 22, my guy Cooper DeJean is there at 22. I think the Eagles could just sit at 22 and get a starting level NFL defensive back and be fine. If I'm trading up, which means probably surrendering one of the second round picks, well, then I want a high level offensive lineman. And everyone keeps saying this might be one of the best offensive line classes in a very, very long time. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get on the record here. It is draft day for the Philadelphia Eagles. They hold the 22nd pick. Now, very few people actually think they're going to use the 22nd pick. I mean, Howie's moved around in almost every draft. He does move around in every draft. He's moved around in almost every first round. And I'd be basically shocked if they just sit there and draft a 22. I think they're going to move up tonight. And if they don't, I could see them moving back just to gain a little bit more value. I think a trade is very likely. And if I'm moving up, and it seems like the two positions they're targeting here is corner or offensive line, I'd rather move up for the offensive lineman. If I'm surrendering a pick, give me a position that is probably a bigger need right now on the offensive line, secures more depth on the offensive line. And I know this sounds simplistic, but I just trust them to draft an offensive lineman more. Hugh, they haven't drafted corners well under Howie. I mean, they really have not. I mean, it's a little scary to me to take it to trade up for a corner when I don't know if Howie could evaluate corners.
Man, listen, if you're moving up, the corners that you had to pick for from, if you're moving from anywhere from 12 to 13, I think that's a no-brainer. And I think if you're trying to get one of the good corners, if you're trying to get the young man from Toledo, then that's what you should do, Quinyon Mitchell. Then that's where you probably need to be to get that guy. So I don't have a problem with you can't mess that up. That's one of the ones you call unmess-upable.
Howie proof?
Yeah. There you go. We can get
that word. Or hubalubala, whatever you want to call it.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah,
either one of those. It's on that.
215-592-9494. If the Eagles are trading up tonight, should they trade up for a corner or an offensive lineman? Would you rather? Kyle, what do you got? I'll just put it this way. If they stay at 22, they'll be picking about 12 hours from now. If they move up, yep, they probably have made a pick already 12 hours from now.
And thank God that we're only 12 hours away, because I'm getting sick of everyone being Mr. Smarty Pants. The draft is for the future, building blocks.
It is.
Offensive linemen, shut up. There are 7 rounds in the draft. And
with that voice, that's what they're doing.
The Eagles have like 9 picks in this draft, right? 7 rounds. There are so many other rounds where you can build the depth on the offensive line, okay? Your best opportunity in the draft to get both a guy that's going to help you a couple years down the line and a guy that can make an immediate impact is in the first round. So I think use one of your day two, day three picks to get an offensive lineman that's going to compete for the interior, the guard. It might be a tackle of the future. Okay. The Eagles are better at evaluating offensive linemen in the draft. To your point, Joe, they're not good at evaluating corners. So why not trade up and give them the best opportunity to get the best corner on the board? If they're so much better at evaluating O-line than corner, then wait and get one later. I don't understand this fascination with it. Everybody's outsmarting themselves. The Eagles built through the trenches, get a guard. Okay, you can do that in any of the other rounds. Go up and get the best corner, position of need, guy that's going to be on the field and make an immediate impact.
Well, I don't think it's outsmarting. My position is this. The two recent Super Bowl teams we've seen the Eagles have, they've been awesome offensive lines. I mean, I think of just keeping it simple. They've been awesome offensive lines in 17 and in 22. Think about the corners they've got to Super Bowls with. I mean, Slay's a good player. They traded for him. They got Bradbury, who was cut in May of that year. James Bradbury was cut in May of the year they went to the Super Bowl. They got him in here. And think about the 17 team. They traded for Ronald Darby in August, and the other corner was Mills, a sixth-round pick. Like, the Eagles haven't had first-round pick corners running around the field when they get to Super Bowls.
Well, they let up 500 yards in that Super Bowl with that ridiculously awful second.
Yeah,
this is my favorite thing. As we forget, they dominated defensively to get to the Super Bowl.
Go through the offensive line that you're talking about that was in the Super Bowl, and where did the Eagles take all of those guys in the draft?
I understand, but they were great players.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
And
the Eagles found great players in later rounds.
I got you. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop in. All right, it sounds like everyone is in on the idea of a trade-up. All the analysts, all the rumors are the Eagles are likely to trade up. Howard has it as a 70% chance they trade up tonight. Well, if they're going up, what do you want, corner or offensive lineman? Those seem to be the positions everyone is talking about. Chris in Middleton. Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Happy draft day, man.
Happy
draft day, Chris. It's a big day.
Oh, it's a huge day. Huge day. Hey, Joe, I don't want Peter Skoronski. I'm out.
Well, that's fine. He's not in this draft. He was in last year's draft.
You won him last year.
I did. Well, maybe if they got Skoronski last year, I wouldn't need the offensive lineman this year. They'd have the guard set up. I'm just saying.
Stop the nonsense. You straighten him out.
Yeah, that's a hell of a way to think, though. I like where your mind is going with that.
I'm always thinking ahead here, guys. You guys are behind the curve. I'm ahead of the curve. Go ahead, Chris.
All right. So, listen, if we got to get a corner, I told you yesterday to not draft a corner. I still feel that way, but if we got to get a corner, Wiggins is the guy that I want. He's got length, he's got speed, he's got great ball skills, you know, to stop those 50-50 balls and even readjust to back shoulder. So if I got to go corner, that's the directions I want to go. I really think if they're moving up for two players. They're going to move up because they want an edge rusher. I think Howie, that was the kind of plan of when they traded Kyle's boy away. They knew they had to replace him. And the guy that's sliding because of his medicals, I don't care. I want Liato Lutu. Bring him in, put him on the edge, put him in the rotation. Just let that boy hunt. Let him eat. Let him do what he does best. But who I really, really, really passionately want is I want to go broke for Bowers. I want another receiver who also can block. That's what I want. This guy is not a tight end. You know, people that say, oh, I want a tight end, you don't know what you're talking about. This guy is a dominant offensive receiving weapon. That's what I want. I want to score. I don't want to score 35, Joe, and lose by 38 because I'm going to score 45 and win to 38. We are going to boat race everybody we come up against and just march up and down the field, control the clock, throw mad points up, and that wins Super Bowls, Joe. That's how the St. Louis Rams won it with the greatest show on turf. That's what wins, going up and down to score. And you have to score more points than your opponent, Joe, or you can't win. And you know what, guys? I was holding on to it, and now I'm there! You
ready? Let it go.
Now we're talking. Now it's draft night. Chris, we appreciate the phone call. I love Chris's passion. But let's not forget, the greatest show on turf when they won their Super Bowls, 23-16 was the score. And they won because their defense made a stand on the goal line to win the game.
Their defense was opportunistic.
Their defense made a stand to win the game on the goal line.
You're talking about
Kevin Dyson, 1 yard away.
Talking about against the
Titans.
The Titans, yeah.
Yeah, it was 23-16.
But they only made one play during that whole game. And that was Kind of like the way we won our Super Bowl.
But wait,
our defense was not that great.
They
held
the opponent to 16 points. They made more
than 20 years ago.
Did you hear anything that Mark Rice told you yesterday?
Yeah, I heard Mark
Rice. You don't need your defense to dominate. You just need to make one play at the right time, which is what my man BG did to win the Super Bowl.
Yep. You know what?
Not diminish it. And that's not me trying to diminish one of the greatest, absolute greatest moments in sports history. I'm just being factual when I talk about it.
And if their defense doesn't dominate the Falcons game, they don't even get to the title game or get to the Super Bowl.
Opportunistic defense.
Guys.
Opportunistic.
I think I just was victim to this too. We have to stop looking at what happened in literally one game what wins Super Bowls.
I know this.
I know. The Eagles in 2017, okay? Like, I just did it. They let up 500 yards in that game. We have to stop looking at what happened in literally one football game.
Well, that's fine.
And say that wins you Super Bowl.
I agree. You know what wins football games all the time? Great offensive line play. It goes over the years.
Great quarterback play.
But we're not with the quarterback's the quarterback.
You
He's
know
not
what?
Going anywhere.
I don't recall at any point in that Super Bowl that I watched last year any pundit saying, "Wow, did you see that block by the offensive lineman? That was great."
Well, but
that sprung Patrick Mahomes for the touchdown run.
But
ain't nobody said that.
We don't have Mahomes.
We're playing
a different sport than that guy.
No, but what I'm saying is this. The best offensive linemen, the ones that nobody talks about. I think our offensive line is good enough. We need some more pass catchers, man.
Oh, stop. Stop it. 215-592-9494. My goodness gracious. You know what I remember from last year? Jalen Hurts against the blitz looking like a deer in headlights. How about we put a front?
If Brock Bowers was there, he would have had that outlet. He could have dumped it off.
Yeah, right.
And Brock Bowers would have got leg cramps running into the end zone.
We had the tight end that's here on the show tell us they had plenty of answers against the blitz, and the quarterback didn't get to them.
They're
right?
in the headlights because they didn't have no outlet pass.
Sure. That's the only reason he didn't complete pass. All right, 215-592-9494. A lot of rumors. Eagles are going to trade up tonight. Corner, O-line are the two spots that everyone's talking about. If they're moving up, I'd rather get the offensive lineman. I could stay at 22 and get a good corner. If I'm moving up, go get a star offensive lineman to continue the pipeline here of great offensive line play. Moses is in North Philly. What's up, Moses?
Yeah, how you doing, Joe? I have a question. Why do you guys want an offensive lineman when we have, like Kyle said, about nine picks that we can pick an offensive lineman? We need defense. Defense is what's going to save us. Our offense is already stacked. We have Saquon this year who can block. And also, you were mentioning that, he's not going to be productive on this offensive line. He was productive in the Giants offensive line that had nobody.
So he was productive. Literally. Well, he was productive. But we signed him with the idea now he's running behind a great offensive line. Moses, I agree with you generally. They need defense more than offense. I agree with that. But if I'm trading up tonight, like, I think I could just stay at 22 and get a corner. I don't need to move up. If I'm moving up, get a star offensive lineman. I mean, there is a question mark, Moses, on the offensive line. The guard, I have no idea if Tyler Steen could play at a high level. And now we're moving Juergens to center. Like, that's a question mark.
Yeah, that's a question mark, but they have shown before that our offensive line is pretty good. I understand you guys said last year that Jalen was a deer in headlights. He has a blocking running back this year as well. Saquon is great at pass blocking.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Well, that'll help. Sure, I agree with that.
That'll help. I feel like we need defense. Our corners are cooked.
Darius Bradbury is. He's burnt. He's not just cooked.
I don't even know how he's still on the team. I don't know how
Moses. I don't know either. It's crazy. So who's your guy? Who do you want tonight?
I really love Cooper DeJean, but if we move up, I would pick that kid from Toledo, like you said. That's a sure pick. That's going to be a day one starter.
Bonafide.
That's going to be on the field playing. He'll take Bradbury's spot.
He will.
Yeah, he definitely going.
He will. You know what, Moses? See it similar.
Isaiah Rogers as well. They just got reinstated. So with a good corner in this draft, we would be great on defense. I like a lot of people don't like the Bryce Hall signing because of letting go Hassan Reddick, but Bryce Hall is a stud as well. Our defense is, if we get a corner this year, our defense can be top 10 in the league.
Well, that's good enough to go win a Super Bowl. Moses, good call. You and I see it the same. I mean, Cooper DeJean's my favorite guy. I love Cooper DeJean, and I would sit at 22 and take him. But if they're moving up, I think offensive line is the key. Now the whole idea there of, you know, the corner, Mitchell. I'll tell you what, Quinyon Mitchell, Hugh. Quinyon Mitchell has a good name. I always think the name matters sometimes. Quinyon Mitchell's name sounds like a good NFL corner.
Yeah, because it's Quinn.
Is that what it
Quinyon.
Is? We'll take that. We'll take that.
But there's Quinn in it.
It's Quinn in it. All right. We'll take that. Yeah, I
mean, what if his name was Jillion?
Gilio's not a good corner name. I mean, it's not. I mean, we could be real about this. Hugh Douglas, that if I was doing a show in 1995.
Hugh Douglas sounds like a defensive end.
Right, I would have said it's a good name.
I totally agree.
That's a good name.
Anything with Quinn in it, though, is...
It's pretty dope.
It's good, yeah, thank you.
I mean, how many other Quinns run around the NFL? Well,
You're about to find out.
Dan Quinn?
There you go.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of...
That was not a good, not a good one.
It's kind of lame if we're being real about that.
I apologize.
My dad's
saying, I think the name matters. Quinyon Mitchell sounds like a good NFL corner. Does Terrion Arnold sound like an NFL corner?
It doesn't.
Terrion sounds like he can cover.
The last name Arnold is kind of like, nah.
A little lame.
Yeah,
I agree. Arnold's kind of a lame
Arnold is weak.
Yeah. Okay, now, Kool-Aid McKinstry's got a good name.
That's badass.
That's what we're going with. That's fine.
Well, we're at the point of draft coverage now where we start breaking down the names.
The names, yeah. Why did your mama name you that? Who was in the room when they decided to name you?
215-592-9494. All right, it's draft day. Get on the record here. It's a shorter show for us today, so hop in now. 215-592-9494. If the Eagles trade up tonight, you want a corner or an offensive lineman? I if they're moving up, I'll take the offensive lineman. I can feel with conviction they'll get that pick right. They've had trouble drafting corners over the years. He would rather the corner in a trade up. And who's your guy? Give us your name. 215-592-9494. We'll also do a little mock draft roundup. My big board, Sixer stuff, all to come right here on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A huge game three tonight, the Wells Fargo Center. We'll get to some Sixer stuff in a little bit. Phillies today try to go for the split in Cincinnati. Last night was an ugly loss for the Phillies. Sloppy baseball and some Thompson decisions where we were we'll leading off before the game. By the way, Bryce Harper is back, reinstated from the paternity list.
Hey.
So I didn't see any sort of announcement yet from him or social media or whatever with his family. But congratulations.
He must have knew the team needed him.
Well, yeah, and I think they only get 3 days on the paternity list. So if he wasn't ready today, I think they would have to play a man down. So it's good. Bryce is back from the paternity list. Phillies need a win today. We'll get to leading off in a little bit. All right, let's go to some of the experts out there. And I think these two are particularly interesting. Peter Schrager, Daniel Jeremiah, both very plugged in, both very good, and both have ties to Howie Roseman. Schrager and Roseman have known each other a long time.
Ain't that his frat brother's son?
I think they're both maybe frat guys. I remember early in Schrager's career, Howie was on his podcast before he even became like on Fox or anything.
I think it's probably his frat brother.
Do either of those guys scream frat to you?
Peter Schrager and Howie Roseman? Not really. But, you know, people in their youth are different than they are when they get older.
Well, it's different. 100%, like, man. It's I'm pretty sure their fraternity brothers are a lot different than the ones that I know. But, yeah, I can see
that a little bit different. So we have Schrager's mock, his final mock, and Daniel Jeremiah, of course, who used to be a, you know, scout here with the Eagles. All right, let's go to Schrager first. His final prediction for the Philadelphia Eagles. He has the Eagles trading up to number 16, a swap with the Seattle Seahawks, giving up one of their 2 second-round picks. And drafting Terrion Arnold, cornerback out of Alabama. All right, so Schrager's got them moving up for a corner. Now, Daniel Jeremiah, who we know a couple days ago was saying corner, corner, corner. Well, he's changed his mind here. In this mock draft, how about this move up? I think Kyle might have just come on the air screaming tomorrow. Daniel Jeremiah's final mock draft. He has the Eagles trading up from 22 to 12 to draft Talese Fuaga, offensive tackle from Oregon State. So one of the insiders says trade up for the corner, Hugh, and then Daniel Jeremiah has now changed his mind and is now going with 22-12
the Beavers.
For Fuaga.
Oregon State, that's the Beavers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a sexy pick, no question about it. To me, it's not. I would rather have somebody that's going to be a pass catcher, a difference maker in that sense. But it would be on brand for what the Eagles usually do.
Totally.
As far as trench work and getting guys that are in the trenches. But that's not going to move the meter for anybody.
Well, you know what? The meter doesn't matter to me. Wins and losses matter to me. This whole thing, I really hope tonight, I know you said this before, Hugh, I hope the Eagles are not making draft picks to get the fan base excited. I hope not.
I mean, there's something to that. But to your point, I mean, I feel like they have enough offensive linemen. And plus, it's funny to me. We talk about how great Coach Stoutland is, which he is, not taking that away from Coach Stoutland and how he can coach folks up and all this other stuff. So if Coach Stoutland's that such a great coach, get him somebody he can work with that's not going to actually necessarily play right now. I would go out and get the corner. If between the two choices that you gave me, if you're not going to go out and get me Brock Bowers with that pick, then I'll take one of the corners.
So I think it's fair to bring up the Stoutland thing. I mean, he's helped make a lot of players better than maybe where they were when they arrived here. I mean, Jordan Mailata is probably the best example. But I look at their depth chart on the offensive line. It's as thin as I can remember it in a very long time. So right now, and unless they draft someone in the first round tonight, it's probably going to stay this way. Mailata, Dickerson, Juergens, Tyler Steen, Lane Johnson from left to right. They're backups, and let's just be real, they're going to have to play. I mean, there's no way all five starting linemen are going to stay healthy the entire year. These are the names. Fred Johnson, Matt Hennessy, Lakitis Smith. I don't even know where he came from. I don't know where they signed him this offseason.
I like Hennessy, though.
Sure.
Hennessy's probably going to get a chance to start.
Sure. He might compete with Steen at right guard right away. I see that.
Start.
And then LaRaven Clark. And then Brett Toth as a third stringer. It's as thin as I've ever seen their offensive line, or at least in the last 5 or 6 years, without question. Since the 2017 Super Bowl, this is as thin of an offensive line group as I've seen. All right, Jeremiah was on the corner situation. Now he's flipped to offensive tackle, offensive lineman. Why? Here's Daniel Jeremiah. I believe this was with John Clark on why he made that switch.
Do you still think that Howie is getting after a cornerback in this draft?
So, no. I've changed my mind. So I get the right to do that. I know that they're talking like crazy about moving up. So you're trying to put the puzzle pieces together. And when I looked at the teams that they were calling and who they were trying to get ahead of, those teams, I'm like, these are tackle teams. These are not corner teams. And then so to me, and it's just a theory here, John, not nothing in gospel, but it feels to me like they could go back to the old formula, go with an offensive lineman, go with one that could play right guard as a rookie, and then eventually, you know, when Lane decides to hang it up, that you've got somebody that could take over at right tackle.
That's interesting, Hugh, the way he framed it. So he was talking to the teams the Eagles were calling, and he's like, well, they're calling this team and that team. What kind of teams are those? And in his mind, they're calling teams that are likely to – they're trying to jump over teams that are going to draft an offensive lineman. So he's putting it together that they're trying to get up ahead for their offensive lineman.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And if that's the case, like I said, that is something that falls into lockstep with what the Eagles are doing. But that's not nothing that moves the meter for me. Now, I understand these are football moves being made, but I think you got to also get the fan base excited about it. To me, exciting pick at that space would be one of those corners that's gonna be there if you're picking at that high in the draft.
215-592-9494. And that's one thing I hope they don't do tonight. I hope they do not try to make everyone excited. We did this a month ago. Didn't they sign a running back? Like the moves to get people excited, that's a short-term quick fix. I need to win football games in September and October. That's what gets people excited.
So now we don't like the Barkley move?
No. But we did this already. We already did one move that was like, oh, everyone's going to get excited about that.
Yeah, maybe people get excited because they're winning moves.
No, I think people get excited for skill players. I mean, that's what you're saying.
Which is what wins you football games in the NFL.
I don't think so. I do not think so.
Difference maker.
No. But yeah, difference makers sometimes, but they have enough of those. We've done this
already. Get a depth guard, difference maker.
Depth guard. The guys could – hold on a second. If they draft – if they move from 22 to 12 for an offensive lineman, he's starting.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
awesome.
Great.
Awesome.
That's not
– he's starting and it'll probably be a great player. That'd be my guess.
That doesn't get me excited. Doesn't get me excited.
You know, you realize, though, like the big plays that Jalen's going to make and the big catches by AJ and the big runs by Barkley, they happen because they block it up.
Oh, my goodness. Get a guy in the second or third.
Well, I don't have a third round pick. They got 2 seconds.
Trade it back.
All
get
right.
Two guys in the third.
215-592-9494. If the Eagles trade up tonight, corner, O-line, what would you rather trade for? And, of course, your guy. Who's the name? Who's the player you want tonight? Let's go to Tyrone in Middletown. Hey, Tyrone.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, what's up, Tyrone. Man? What's up?
Oh, man, draft day, always a great day, man. Looking at the big board, I think the people that are, like Joe, you say, I agree with you on the point that I think we should try to get an old lineman only to the extent that I remember last year when I think it was, what's his name, the prospective replacement for Jason Peters went down. When he went down, we had to put in Opetta as the backup, and he struggled mightily, and it was almost like for Jalen, that's when he was starting to get fidgety. And I think that we have a lack of depth on the quality depth on the old line. And I figure this guy, I think it's J.C. Mims that's coming out of Alabama. You have a plethora of offensive tackles that are big, but there are several that are worthy of a first-round pick. And I think that when you look at the draft board, there's so much depth at different positions, including defensive back, that if Quinion Mitchell did fall, of course you pick a player like that because he has speed, size, grit, and he can play from his mock-up to he can play man, he can play zone.
Mm-hmm.
He's young, he's tough, he's big, and he's fast. He's 4.33. But you find that we've struggled with our offensive line consistently throughout the year. And in previous years, we've always had a problem with quality depth. Whenever you have multiple injuries on the line, it affects the entire offense. And if we can't protect Jalen, I don't care how many receivers we have, which even in the draft, there are a lot of receivers in the draft. This draft, if you look at the top 100 players, there are players that are going to go deep into the second round that we can, with those two picks. That's why I hope Howie falls from tradition and doesn't trade up, because we have holes to fill with depth, not just starters. Our backups, if we want to get to the Super Bowl, I would rather we have a young base, which are flooded by these draft picks that we give away, that we consistently end up not having later in the year, because this year is going to be a grind.
Well, with 17 games, I mean, the depth matters more than ever. I mean, injuries happen. It's just like we look at the starters, and Tyrone, it's a good call. We look at the starters, and we're like, oh, that's good, but you need all those players. It's a long, long season. Tyrone brought up an interesting point there. When he brought up, last year when he's making the point when Jalen started to struggle, when they had the injury to Juergens, what was that, like October-ish?
Yeah, and there was questions of whether or not it was because of the protection.
Yes, but he brought up the point that I think is a good one, and he mentioned Sua Opeta started. You know why Sua Opeta started? Because they thought Sua Opeta was better than Tyler Steen. Are we sure Tyler Steen can play? I am not.
I think.
Like, why they didn't put him on the field last year except for a very brief period, even though they had an injury at the position that we're now saying he's going to start at.
I think two things come into play when I think about the reasons why this offensive line struggled last year. Part of the reason why is because I think Jalen was holding the ball in some instances a little bit too long. And when you have an offensive line that you're trying to get up to speed, I mean, it's only so long that they can block. I feel like with the addition of a new – offensive coordinator, which we have, Coach Goober, that we're going to be able to get the ball out of our hands a lot quicker. And it's going to take care of some of those offensive deficiencies that you like to point out.
Yeah, I understand that. And the coordinator probably will help. I'm just saying they have a guy penciling a right guard right now that last year, when they had an injury, they didn't want to put on the field. If you ask me right now, Tyler Steen might be right now their biggest question mark of any starter they have on the depth chart. Like, he might be.
I think a good offensive coordinator does a great job of hiding the deficiencies that they have on the offensive line. A lot of times, quarterbacks help that out too. You know, if you have a guy that probably is not that great pass protector, you do one of two things. You design offenses that get the ball out of the quarterback's hands quick, or you give him a lot of help on the offensive line.
So I agree. I don't want a deficiency on the offensive line. I want zero deficiencies. That's how I think that you win a lot of games.
I'm just glad that this is only a 2-hour show today, because if I have to hear the word depth associated with our first round pick tonight one more time, I'm going to lose it. What are we talking about here?
If they draft an offensive line, it's not depth. He's
yes,
starting.
You don't know that.
Well, you think they're all right, hold on. You think they're going to trade from 22 to 12 for a backup?
He better be a starter.
Well,
starter.
I think the Eagles are way – like, if the Eagles are we're talking about what would be the smart move for the future building block guy. It's a guy that can eventually slide in at tackle. I think they'll prioritize a guy who is better at playing tackle than playing guard.
I agree.
We could get a guy who's a guard, might be a tackle in a couple years, but he stinks at guard.
Well, okay,
why not get a guy like you have Tyler Steen and Matt Hennessy? Get another guy in the second round that can compete with them. There's your depth.
I'm not looking for depth. I'm looking for
everyone else.
Answer.
You're talking about offensive linemen. It's depth.
Well, depth matters. How'd they get to
not in the first round?
How'd they win the Super Bowl in 2017? They had depth all over the place. It was the
and where'd they get that? Where'd they get all that depth?
The
first round, they trade up in the first round to get depth.
Throughout the
get
draft.
Lost.
You know what? Get lost. Howie picking corners is get lost. You know
guys,
what? Shut up. Guy's been here 20 years and picked a corner that can play, and you want me to trade up and trade two
picks? They haven't
picked
a corner in the first round.
Well, they have not. Maybe it's because he knows he can't evaluate him.
He better do better than that. If we're going to give Howie all these accolades and
praise,
man. What do you mean? We go against the truth.
His job is to build the best team.
And if he has some blind spots, then he needs to work on that. Go get me a corner. If you move way up there, Howie, to get to 15, to 12, to 15, you better get a good damn corner. You better not get an offensive lineman. That doesn't move the meter.
It does. It makes you a better football team.
It doesn't.
This whole meter thing, playmakers, fantasy football
guys. That's what we're talking about, a playmaker.
No, I'm trying to win football games. All right, 215-592-9494. Tell you how board. Coming up at 11, my big board, my 10 players that I would love to see in an Eagles uniform between tonight and tomorrow. And, of course, we'll let you hear from a couple of the prospects the Eagles did meet with and what they said about their visit here to Philadelphia. Jeff in Wilmington. Hey, Jeff.
For the love of Tony Mandarich, please do not draft an offensive lineman in the first round.
Oh, that's a great name. Tony Mandarich.
Oh, my God.
Playing against Tony Mandarich.
You kill me, Joe. So on one hand, a little while ago, this happened within about a 30-second time frame.
Mm-hmm.
You said that the greatest show on turf won their Super Bowl because of a defensive effort.
No, I was responding to a caller who said it's all about offense. I'm like, wait a second. That game wasn't even high scoring.
And then you said every Super Bowl champion had a great offensive line. So I don't know where
you're going. No, I said every time the Eagles get there, they have a good offensive line. It's the common denominator of the Eagles. When they're good, they got a good offensive line.
We might have to review the tape.
We could
anyway,
do that.
Yeah. Also, you said our offensive line has holes. Well, yeah, when you lose a Hall of Fame center, there is going to be a hole. But I do not want to draft an offensive lineman for depth. Like Kyle said, I think I'm going to blow a head gasket. If I had to do this for a living, what you're doing, I wouldn't make it. I'm telling you right now. Because it makes no sense. What do you need? We have the hole in the defense is so big you can't even see it. It's the whole feel. So give me something on defense. Now, I know yesterday I said I would trade up for a receiver because that was the topic. That was mainly for show purposes. I would still rather get somebody on defense. If I have, especially a cornerback.
So, Jeff, I would too. And obviously today the idea is they're going to trade up, right? So we're discussing if they trade up. But, Jeff, I'm perfectly happy if they stick at 22 taking a corner. And like, I get it. Mitchell and Arnold are probably not going to be there
at
22.
If they stay there, sure.
Yeah, but I think, like, I'm thinking if they stay at 22, if they don't trade up, I think there's a more likelihood that they could get a good defensive back there, McKinstry or Wiggins or DeGene, if you think he could play corner. But offensive line, like the top eight offensive linemen might all be gone by 22.
Okay, but we have the best offensive line coach in the last 10 years, maybe in the last 20 or 30, and you're still worried about the offensive line and the depth on it? That's the part that gets me.
I am a little bit. And Jeff, and we appreciate it. I'll explain. I think we've gone too far with these coaches. Like, under some of the, like, what I hear from some people about the magician at defensive coordinator, okay? And then I got Jeff and I got Kyle over here telling me about Stoutland. Then why even sign any players? Just give them all bad players.
No, but you got to have, like, I think you're missing the point. You got to have, like, I think everybody at this level can play in the NFL. The biggest difference is the level of coaching that they get. Now, some cats, you know, it's easier to coach than others. I give you that. But coaching matters at this level. And I think a great example of that is you talk about Jason Kelce and the fact that he got coached up and now he's a Hall of Famer. That's why it's one of those things where you have to, in order to be a good GM, in my opinion, you have to be able to find those diamonds in the rough. And I was always told that a lot of times when you draft offensive linemen, you tend to get them in free agency more so than you draft them in high. Now, there's some guys that are just, you know, they're just different. You just draft them high. But a lot of times, good coaches then develop offensive linemen and they get paid from another team.
I hear you. I think we're going too far saying, well, we have Vic Fangio, so we don't need to add more defense players. We have Jeff Stoutland, we don't need to add really talented offensive linemen. They're not magicians.
I don't think it's going too far, though, Joe. You know why? Because
– Well, then why even give them anything? Like, what's the line between, they'll figure it out?
I think I look at it like this. I look at it like, okay, say, for instance, if Vic Fangio was here at the beginning of the season. Now, this defense is still devoid of talent, but I think that there would have been some of the deficiencies that we saw that were lingering on a week-to-week basis. I feel like that wouldn't have been the case.
Probably.
If he'd have been here.
Yeah.
Now, there would have still been some things I think that would have stood out because we were just not as talented in certain spots as we are in others. But I don't think they would look as incompetent as they have looked in the past.
Well, I would agree with that. All right, do we have a little bit of a kind of another subject, conversation going on with this O-line thing?
So it's, just on the subject of drafting an interior offensive lineman, a guy who might play guard and then slide out.
Mm.
I just saw this on Twitter. It was Jason Kelce and Jimmy Kemsky, just quick exchange. So
okay.
Kemsky made the point that if they drafted a guy to play short-term right guard, that would eventually succeed Lane Johnson. If he's good, then the conversation is, well, he's really good at right guard. Keep him at right guard.
Kind of like Dickerson.
And then if he's bad, then it's like, why would I want to put this guy at tackle? This guy stinks. Jason Kelce was, he agreed. He's like, yeah, this is pretty much usually the case.
Dickerson, right?
Yeah.
Isn't this the Dickerson thing?
Yeah.
They draft him to be the heir apparent at center. He was so good at left guard. We just left him at left guard.
It just makes it like even more crazy to me that somebody would, like, especially for an offensive guard. If it's a guy who's going to come in and play tackle right away, that's completely different.
Well, they don't have
hole. Right. We don't have that need. So there's no need for them to do this. And I don't think it's as crazy as you do that a team might want to play and operate to their strengths of knowing what they have good coaches in what areas and what they don't. Like, you can afford a little bit more slack there.
Right. Are we going too far with it? Like, you don't need to give him any talent. He'll figure it out.
I'm saying give him a second round pick. That's plenty of talent.
So I mean, sometimes we wonder, like, what are the Eagles telling us, right? By the moves they make, the moves they don't make. Tonight's going to tell us a lot, Hugh, about your young Thundercats at corner and Tyler Steen. Because I'll just say it this way. If they don't take a corner in the first round,
they're going to go with the young guy.
Well, they're telling us that Ringo, Isaiah Rogers, like, they think they have something maybe more than the eye tells us, right? Like,
definitely.
Under the surface, they think somebody's – and I'll say the opposite for the offensive line. If they move up 10 spots for an offensive line, you know what they're telling us? Tyler Steen can't play.
Yeah, basically. That's what it is. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. I think it's funny to me because we talk about this all the time, how we can assess whether or not we have anything at the corner spot when we haven't seen these young corners play for an extended period of time. I think Keely Ringo, from the short sample size that I've seen, he deserves an opportunity to at least see what he can do. I also feel that way about Eli Ricks. I feel like they at least have an opportunity, or they should be put in a situation where you could at least see what they do. And you know, that's where I'm kind of at with that. As far as the defensive line is concerned, everybody across the board, for the most part, is young. Now, we don't know what we're going to get from the linebacker spot. I wouldn't mind putting another linebacker in that rotation, maybe in the third or fourth round, maybe.
Maybe two, maybe tomorrow
night.
I
mean?
If they keep both those seconds, that could be tomorrow.
Yeah, so we'll see. But, I mean, it's not like I'm devoid of putting some talent on that side of the ball. But I also feel like, if we get coached up on that side of the ball, we'll be much better than we were last year.
215-592-9494. Hop in now. Who do you want? Who's your guy for tonight? And if the Eagles trade up, which all the rumors out there say they're trying to trade up here, they don't want to sit at 22. Howie wants to move, wants to go up the draft board. Would you rather trade up for a corner or an offensive lineman? Those are the two spots that everyone seems to think that they are on the move to try to move up for. They currently hold the 22nd pick. Or we'll get to some Sixers here before game three in the 11 o'clock hour. And on the other side, you're going to hear from two corner prospects the Eagles have talked to about their meetings with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I will unveil my big board. I've got 10 players, and they're all varying. Some probably have to be trade-ups. Some you sit at 22 and take. Some probably are trade-downs. You don't take at 22. But 10 guys I want on the Eagles. I think all these players would be fun if they ended up Philadelphia Eagles. My big board hits you with that next. 215-592-9494. It is how you hop aboard the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. The road to the NBA Finals starts now. And new customers on FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet, and you'll get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Bet on three-pointers. Maybe we're going over tonight for Tyrese Maxey. Over-under point totals. We're going to take the under for Tobias. I mean, that's the way to bet this. First basket scorer, Kyle Lowry, and more. Just go to FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A huge game three tonight at the Wells Fargo Center. It's going to be quite an atmosphere down in the
It's going to be awesome.
Sports complex tonight.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, if we get a win and the right draft pick, it'll be an awesome night, obviously.
There better not be an infestation of Knicks fans down there.
Probably will be.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some.
Knicks fans travel well, though.
New Yorkers listening, screw you.
Turn around.
Yeah.
Go back home. Get out. I imagine there will be some. I actually think So here's where I think you could get an infestation of that nonsense. If the Sixers somehow lose tonight, people are going to sell their tickets for Game 4.
I'm not watching that game.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't either. Right now, I think the Sixers are going to win tonight, and we're going to have something to watch on Sunday. But yeah, hopefully not. But it's going to be a big night tonight. The draft show starts at 6. Here, we're back. We get to get out early today because the Phillies game. We're coming back at 6 o'clock. Draft show. Hugh's staying all the way through the Eagles pick.
I will be there.
I get tagged out at 8 for Glenn Mack now. Hugh's staying the whole way. No, it's going to be a great night. A lot of great
conversation. No man on the totem pole.
A lot of great conversation around the draft.
And Hugh Douglas just keeps working.
That's what he does. That's what he has to do. All right, so we will get to my big board. 10 players I'd love to see in an Eagles uniform tonight, and maybe one is a second-round guy, but I just like him and hope he ends up in an Eagles uniform. We'll get to that coming up. First, though, let's get to some audio here of two prospects because we're debating, look, if they're trading up, is it a corner? Is it offensive lineman? What would you rather have? Well, I think if they're trading up for a corner, it's one of these two guys, Quinyon Mitchell, Toledo, Terrion Arnold from Alabama. First, let's hear Terrion Arnold. This is kind of a fun back and forth talking about when he came to visit here and Devontae maybe kind of lobbying for the Eagles to take him and to be their next great corner.
How was your visit with the Eagles?
It was great, man. The visit went really, really well.
What did you come away with after meeting Nick Sirianni, Howie Roseman, and everybody?
Great guys, great organization, and my boy Devontae Smith pulled up on me there. Yeah. So it was great all around.
What did Devontae tell you about the Eagles, and if they were to possibly move up and get you, what it would be like for you?
Oh, Devontae was like, man, you know, if you want to get the best quarterback in the draft class, you need to get Terrion. And then on top of that, like, Devontae was like, man, like, I'll become a better player. Because, I mean, I didn't really get those matchups against him at Alabama. So getting those matchups going up against him in the NFL, man, it'd be amazing. And I'm one of those guys, like, I'm ready to compete, man. Him, A.J. Brown, like, it would just be great.
He sounds like a confident kid. Every time I hear Terrion Arnold talk to you, he sounds like good personality, confident kid. I think there's a certain level of swagger you need to have to play corner. He seems to have that. I liked what I heard there from Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, you like the fact that kids are confident, man, and they want to get better. I think that's one of the things that you listen for when you talk about these potential draft picks. What do they want to be, and how do they view themselves? And he didn't shy away from going up against Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown. He wants to get better, so you got to like that about the young cats.
I also imagine that guys like Devontae and Jalen want to kind of even this thing out. Has the Georgia crew tipped the scales? We have more Georgia guys than Alabama guys, don't we now? I think the Alabama kids here got to want to tip this scale back. I mean, this is becoming more Georgia than Alabama around here. We also have Quinyon Mitchell talking about his visit with the Eagles. Quinyon, of course, from Toledo.
How was your visit in Philly with the Eagles?
Yeah, it went good. You know, Coach Kendall and the head coach, they best friends, so I was talking a little trash to them. So, yeah, it was really good.
Did you take the hoops test with Nick Sirianni, the competition?
Nah, he didn't want to play hoops, so I ain't do it.
The Eagles have been rumored to want to move up and get you.
Yeah.
What do you think it would be like to be an Eagle?
I mean, it'd be great plan for that city and plan for that fan base, so I really enjoy it.
Have the Eagles showed interest in you?
Yeah, they brought me on the visit, and the visit went great, just meeting everybody there, so I feel like it went good.
What would you bring as a corner?
What would I bring?
Yeah.
Just intensity. Ball skills, turnovers, and interceptions. So that's what I bring.
I'll take all those.
All that in a bag of dust. Everything that we didn't have before.
Did you watch the play last year? I could do all the things they couldn't do.
Tackling is another thing. Tackling.
I could cover.
Yeah.
So, all right, what do you make of the relationship between Sirianni and the head coach of Toledo? Best friends, roommates in college. Now, I could look at it one of two ways, right? Okay, the first thing is he's going to get a true and honest evaluation of the player. Sirianni calls him and says, give me everything I need to know about this kid, Quinyon Mitchell. The other side of it, though, is this head coach at Toledo, think about the boost for his program if this kid goes really high in the draft, if he's an Eagle, if he's a champion, right? It's good for Toledo and good for this coach if Quinyon Mitchell gets drafted as high as possible. Do you think he's going to give him an honest answer?
Yeah, I think, but my thing is this. There's been a couple Toledo players that have been pretty good. Antonio Brown, I think, with the Toledo. Western Michigan. But the thing of it's the conference.
The MAC
conference. We've had a couple good players from the MAC. I think, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Akron in the MAC?
Yes.
Jason Taylor came from Akron. So there's been some good players that came from Akron.
You know,
I mean,
what,
came from that conference.
Sure. You know what's happening, though? I was reading a story about Quinyon Mitchell because he stayed. He had a lot of offers to leave on NIL deals and the transfer portal. He wanted to remain loyal to Toledo because they were loyal to him. He had some academic issues.
Yeah.
But what they were saying in the article was, though, lately players in the MAC transfer out to go to Oklahoma.
To bigger school, yeah.
So that you're seeing less and less Toledo, like in the first round, this player from Toledo, because maybe originally he was at Toledo, and then whatever, he ends up at Michigan.
Yeah, because a lot of NIL money is a big deal now.
Sure,
and
of course.
If you get an opportunity to put yourself in a better financial situation in college, you know, by going to another school, I mean, I'm not mad at anybody for that, but I'm glad that he stayed. Because, like I said, there's some good players that come out of that conference, the MAC conference.
You think the coach gave Sirianni an honest answer?
Definitely gave him an honest answer. Definitely gave him.
What do you think, Kyle? Is it the higher he's drafted, the better it looks for Toledo.
Well, you know what we need? We need Jalen Rager's coach to tell it how it really is.
Gary Patterson, I believe.
He was on with Joe and John, and he crushed Jalen Rager.
His work ethic. No, wait a minute.
Deshaun Jackson coach did him like that, too, when he was coming out. Or UCLA. He pooped on. It's all UCLA Cal about the same thing.
Yeah.
About the same thing. No, I'm just kidding.
Pissed off a lot of West Coasters.
Yeah. But, it was like some coaches.
Was it Jeff Tedford, I think, was the coach back then.
Yeah, he poo-pooed on him big time, man. That was not cool.
I always think that's wild because, I mean, the coach, you think he would want to boost up the player as much as they could to make the program look good. 215-592-9494. But that's certainly a piece of this puzzle here. If they draft Quinyon Mitchell, the relationship Sirianni has to the Toledo head coach. Let's go back to the phone lines here. O-line or corner, if the Eagles are trading up, which would you rather trade up for, and who's your guy tonight? Give us a name. Brad is up on WIP. What's up, Brad?
Hey, what's happening, guys?
What's going on,
Brad?
Joe, I do not want an offensive lineman. That's I think, the least sexy pick we can get, and I think we have so much in the later rounds that that depth will be fine. With that being said, I think the best scenario is getting an established corner, not one of these young guys. And the Broncos have 0 second-round picks. They go from 12th overall to, I think, 76th overall in the draft. We have 50 and 53. I think we'd make a push to get Pat Surtain on the Eagles.
So, I mean, look, Brad, when this offseason started, Brad, if you had asked me one veteran player, like, you know, that's on a team, not a soon-to-be free agent like Saquon, but one guy established in the NFL on a team that you'd love to trade for, my answer would have been Pat Surtain. I'm 24 years old, already probably a top-five corner in the NFL. If they're really willing to listen on him, Brad, I would trade the 22nd pick in a heartbeat.
Why are we so against letting the young guys play? I'm just curious. Why are we so against on the defense that, like you're acting like having Pat Surtain, one guy, is going to make this team better when
it would by a lot.
We have young cats all over this team that we need to develop players.
Remember how he couldn't draft a wide receiver to save his life, and then what he did was trade the 18th overall for A.J. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that worked out.
I think you're missing what I'm saying, Brad. I'm asking, why aren't we giving these young guys that we drafted, that are drafted Philadelphia Eagles, a shot to play?
Well, I'll give my answer. Because we don't know if they can play.
Well, that's what you draft them. You draft them off the potential.
Right, but we're trying. Like, so let's go back to Brad's example. In 2022, if you were sitting here, you could have said, we got young Thundercats at receiver. We got Quez Watkins. Like, maybe he can play. The truth was, not every young player develops. Some stink.
Yeah,
Eli Ricks might stink. I'm not saying he does, but he might.
Yeah, this is true. But you have to give them a shot. That's the point that I'm making.
Well, you got to give them a shot. Unless you could upgrade.
And on top of that, you've already had them in the program. You have to, in order, to me, a better run organization is one that, you find the first round draft picks that you pick and you get those guys. Not necessarily running out all the time and having to overpay for somebody. It's instead of developing the players that you have. Like, I think a good run organization, kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs, they've done a good job of developing young players and then letting them go out and somebody else go out and pay them.
Well, they did it with Snead.
I'm saying. That's how I kind of look at it. But I hear you. I'm just kind of curious. Like, in order to be the organization or be where we want to be, we have to do a better job, in my opinion, of grooming young players and allowing them to play.
Yeah, well, Brad, we appreciate the call. And I love the Surtain trade idea. I don't know if they're going to trade him. I'm guessing right now they're not going to trade Pat Surtain unless And let's look, if the Broncos want to try to make a big splash tonight and want to get into the top five for a quarterback, well, maybe then they'd have to move around and maybe an extra pick would help them and all that kind of stuff. So, Hugh, I understand your point, but then we have to change expectations. At least I would.
I don't think we have to.
I think we've been spoiled and ruined by watching Mahomes and Reed. It's not real. It's like they're an outlier. They're an outlier. We don't have that coach. I mean, this coach is not Reed. Look, I don't want to rip Sirianni around today. He's not Reed. And this quarterback is not Mahomes. So the way I look at it is, if we want to be a draft developed team, then they're not winning the Super Bowl this year. Let's just accept it.
I believe this. I believe Andy Reed became who he was because of some of the mistakes that he made here.
Sure.
And I feel like in order for us to get over this hump, I still feel like both things can happen. I feel like we can let these young guys play, and then we can still be on the road to a Super Bowl.
What do you think is more likely, that they win the Super Bowl next year with Pat Surtain, or they win the Super Bowl hoping Terrion Arnold can play?
I think it's Surtain for me. I think you can win the Super Bowl hoping that Terrion Arnold can play if you coach him up. I'm looking at teams that have had success in the last couple of years, and most of them have had success. Like, you add some free agents and you add guys like that, you sprinkle them around when you're getting over the hump. You got to develop these young cats, man. And last year, I don't think that what we saw from this coaching staff and what we saw from these young players is enough to evaluate whether or not they can play in this league. That's the point that I'm making.
Well, I agree with you. The jury is totally still out on the young corners, right? Rodgers had a good year 2 years ago with the Colts, and he was suspended. I thought, I'm with you. Ringo showed something. Like, there's something there.
The signs.
Yeah, it's some signs. But there's also a chance both those guys are not real, legitimate, big-time starting cornerbacks in the NFL.
See, I think they are.
But there's always a chance. But there's no ambiguity with Patrick Surtain. He's a great player.
Yeah, and you're going to have to pay Patrick Surtain if you get him.
Sure, but it's not my money.
I guess.
Two-time that dude of the year back there.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I trust Howie way more with paying people than I do drafting people.
Also, like, hope is not a strategy. You know Patrick Surtain can play.
Exactly. Now, if he's available tonight, yeah, I mean, we throw all these other names
out. So why are we drafting then?
Because he's not available.
Well, I'll take Patrick Surtain.
Why do we draft these young guys and not knowing if they – I mean, just to have them on the roster?
Well, I think, like, it's the idea of a known commodity versus an unknown commodity.
No, I hear you, but you gotta let him play.
Well, you don't have to.
Yes, you do. You do have to.
Not necessarily.
I understand Hugh's point, but then I'll just lower expectations. If we want to play a bunch of 23-year-olds, they're not winning the Super Bowl.
Let me go back in the Wayback Machine. I know this is Thursday, but we're going to go back in the Wayback Machine.
Way back?
Yeah.
What if?
What was Jason Kelce, a sixth-round draft pick?
Yep.
What if somebody said, oh, he's too little? He can't play.
Well, a lot of people do. That's why.
Yeah, it was like, give him a chance. But if he doesn't get a chance, we're not singing his praises to this day.
Well, okay.
We're not having the Mummers Parade or any of that. None of that.
But to your point, he didn't become the Jason Kelce that's going to be in Canton for a few years.
That's what I'm about to say.
But that's fine. But then we got to lower expectations. You want to play young guys? They're not winning the Super Bowl.
I think they can.
But that's not how the league works.
The league does work like that.
Not unless you have an all-time quarterback.
Wasn't Snead? Listen.
They don't have an all-time quarterback.
I think Jalen.
All-time?
Is a good quarterback.
Oh, so
I wasn't.
Do
I. Listen, I wasn't about
Here
to.
We go.
Listen, so
I wasn't. I wasn't about to give you that hyperbole. You weren't about to get me out there like that today. But not today.
I almost had him.
But I feel like we have the quarterback that could get us to the promised land. He got us to the promised land
with
already.
A loaded veteran roster around him.
And that's
him.
Okay. I'm okay with loading up. That's why. Why do you?
Veterans.
Now we're on the same page.
Loaded
now,
veteran.
That's why we go get a tight. That's why we go get Brock Bowers.
Loaded
that's why we go
veteran
get a Brock
veteran roster.
Bowers.
Look, loaded veteran roster.
An NFL team can theoretically win a Super Bowl with Jalen Reagor on the roster, but wouldn't you rather have A.J. Brown?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's a home run right there. Josh is up next in Jersey. What's up, Josh?
Man, you got me?
Yes. What's up, Josh? What are you feeling today, buddy?
How are you guys?
Good.
Hugh, I actually kind of agree with what you're saying in regards to, like, the upbringing of, like, the acquired young talent. I think it's actually very interesting, like, as a fan base, like, the obsession with young talent, too. It's like, oh, my gosh, this person's coming in, immediate impact. Like, everyone thinks, like, you know. But I think the real conversation is you really don't know, and I think Kyle's right. I was saying to Kyle on the phone, I was like, I know you're upset, but I think the offensive lineman actually might be the smart pick. But I'm in the corner camp. I'd rather a corner. Like, honestly, I'd take Arnold in a heartbeat. But I don't. I think the offensive lineman is smart because mostly because it's a blue chip player, probably in 4 or 5 years.
Well, Josh, I think that's a big part of it. You know, the way sometimes you just got to listen to what the experts are saying, right? The experts are saying this is a quarterback, receiver, O line draft, right? That's where the stars of this draft are. So, I think you're right. It's probably more likely that one of these offensive linemen becomes a star. Maybe these corners are good. And Josh, the other thing I think about is I just trust them to take an O lineman. They're good at that. They're not really great at drafting corners.
The last thing I'll say, and I'll go, I really think acquiring another player this draft doesn't have to be Pat Surtain. Acquiring another player from another roster is something I'm interested in how we doing, because he is always thinking differently in regards to how he attacks the draft. Maybe hitting on the player is something that we can talk differently, but he tries to attack it and how he picks and acquires and swindles around. That's a good way to word it. Swindles around. I like Howie. I think GM.
Howie needs to do a better job of drafting these later players, in my opinion.
Howie just got to put out
Thunder,
winning teams.
Thundercats. I'm with you, Hugh. I'm with you, bro.
He needs to do a better job of drafting these young players.
He just needs to build winning teams. Josh, we appreciate the phone call.
I like how you let Howie off the hook when it comes to the later picks in the draft.
Because I just think the draft isn't quite as direct line to winning as you do.
I do. Nah. I believe that.
I mean, the Rams haven't had a first round pick in 7 years. All they do is win games.
And you know what? They've just, you know what the Rams are doing? Kicking the can down the road, but they're about to fall off. Like this is the thing.
They just came back up this year. They came back.
The quarterback is getting older, Joe. They're about to fall off.
Well, they got to draft a new one.
Who is it? Not Cooper DeJean, but Puka Nacua. Put them back in the conversation, but they're about to fall off. They're just holding on. Aaron Donald's gone. They're about to fall off.
Yeah, we'll see. I think, their defense probably will a little bit without him. He's obviously a great player. Twitter question today, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. If the Eagles trade up tonight, which position would you prefer they do it for? 72% on corner, 28% on O-line.
Smart people.
Let's go to the phones here, and then I'll give you my big board, my top 10 guys I want to see in Eagles uniform. Ken in Cinnaminson. Hey, Ken.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Ken. It's What's a fun up, day. A lot going on.
It sure is. I can't wait until tonight. First of all, and it's got nothing to do with the Sixers. First of all, Patrick Surtain is the best player on the Denver Broncos, period, and he's like 24 years old. Why would they trade him? So that's not going to happen.
I agree. Ken, the only way I could see it is if they want to get up to three or four for a quarterback.
The Commodores traded Champ Bailey.
Yeah. Maybe they would use him, but I agree. They're probably not going to move him.
And, you know, I could care less about sexy picks. I want picks that are going to win football games now and for the next 10 years. I was watching tape this morning, and the most exciting tape I watched, I told Kyle this, and that pain in his head was about the first. The most exciting tape that I watched this morning was Troy Fatanu playing tackle at the University of Washington.
You know what? Shut up.
I had to stop it and play it back a couple times, because I have never seen some of that stuff.
Ken, I don't believe you.
He had – you go back – Hugh, you got to do this. Go watch the – go look for the tape of the game against Washington State. He's playing left tackle. The edge rusher puts a spin move on him right off of the snap of the ball, puts a spin move on him. Fatanu spins in the opposite direction to wind up right back in front of him, square on his base, ready to block the guy.
This sounds like an after-show thing for
but
me.
But you're not about to convince me, Ken,
getting excited about
an offensive lineman.
A pillar to win football games.
Oh,
come on now.
This guy is special. This guy is special. And if you add this guy, if you draft this guy tonight, if I hear the Philadelphia Eagles have made a trade, they've moved up to the number 17 pick, and with that pick, they draft Troy Fatanu out of the University of Washington. He is the starting right guard tomorrow, and you've made the football team better. This is not hard. We're overcomplicating things, because this is what fantasy football has done to how we evaluate football.
Ken, I agree. It has ruined everyone's brains.
Really?
Fantasy
Seriously,
football
Joe?
Has
Absolutely.
Ruined brains. I mean, it's killed it. How about this? Ken, good phone call. So I'm looking at Fatanu's NFL.com page. This is the first line. Ready-made brawler without an ounce of finesse in his game. Now we are talking. All right.
Without an ounce of finesse in this game.
Who wants finesse? Who wants sexy picks?
If you're going to be a pass protector, yes, in a passing league, you need a little bit of finesse.
He's a brawler, Hugh.
Yeah, and a run. Like, when I think of brawler, I think of a run stopper. I think it's somebody that's going to be a brawler in the run game.
I'm just saying.
You don't need to be a brawler in the passing game.
I'm just saying. The guy's a star player. All right, let's get to my big board here.
What you got?
I got 10 players for you. All right, my 10 players, my big board for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, most of these guys, fine, you know, taking a 22. Some would have to be trade-ups. The last two, I think, are trade-downs. Not really the pick number 22, but I would trade down and take those guys. All right, here we are. My big board for the Philadelphia Eagles, and these are ordered in – I like them. Just my favorites. Like, these are just guys I've watched, and they're my favorite players. Number one, I told you a few weeks ago he's going to be number one on my board. It's Cooper DeJean. If they sit at 22, Cooper DeJean is going to be a star in the NFL, defensive back at Iowa. Number two, I know there's all these injury risks. I know what happened. Leiatu Latu, all he does is get to the quarterback.
With the neck, right?
He got the neck issues, had to leave Washington, went to UCLA. I mean, he could be coached by Coach No Neck. I mean, it could work out perfect.
I was so confused. He said, with the neck. I'm like, yes, Hugh, they all have necks.
Yeah, well, hopefully he has
neck. I'm saying his neck. His neck is jacked up.
I missed the injury part.
It was jacked up. Like, he has surgery. If you look at him, his measurables, his production, this is a top five pick in most drafts. He's had injury issues, and everyone's afraid of it. Leiatu Latu, number two. Number three, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, the corner we've talked a lot about. Number four, all right, I threw you guys a bone. You know I like Brock. Yeah, I went Brock Bowers on my big board number four. I love him. I think they need defense way more than offense. Offensive line's more important. It's a sexy pick. It's a luxury pick. I'm just saying, as a player, Brock Bowers is awesome. Number four. Number five, I put J.C. Latham, the offensive lineman, Alabama. He is gigantic. I mean, I'm seeing stuff this morning. He might go as high as five. Number six, Terrion Arnold, the corner out of Alabama. Number seven, Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State.
Not a fan.
I remember when we got Bryce Huff, and you're talking about the get off, how quickly he gets off the ball. When I was watching some Bryce Huff a couple days ago, Chop Robinson, excuse me, he gets off the ball really fast. I'm just imagining Bryce Huff on one side and Chop on the other. Number eight, I put Amarius Mims, the offensive lineman, Georgia. He's a project. He's a down-the-line guy. He's probably not a starter year one. But boy, his athleticism didn't allow a sack in 400 snaps last year, and he looks like a monster. I mean, he's like 6'8".
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Wow.
Big kid.
And we know the Eagles' pipeline at Georgia, so I put him at number eight. All right, number nine and number 10 are more trade-down scenarios. Number 10 actually is probably a second-round pick, but I think he's really good. Number nine, all right, I threw you both a bone, right? I threw Hugh the bone of putting Brock Bowers on my big board. And Kyle, I threw you a bone. Number nine on my list is Xavier Worthy. I just see DeSean Jackson. I wouldn't draft him at 22. It has to be a trade down. But he's going to dominate the NFL.
Doesn't Worthy feel like the kind of guy that the Kansas City Chiefs take, and we're all like, wow.
So I was watching some of the highlights from the title game last year, or this first playoff game when they played Texas. No one could catch him. He ran past everyone.
That's the fast dude at the combine.
Yeah, seemed like it played up in real games, too.
Mama fun.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know, Hugh wants that.
I was just putting it out there for somebody else.
That's why Ringo's.
You know,
right? That's the Ringo.
You know what we got to do next year? We need a Big Hugh Mama Fine big board.
You know, we really do. That's a great idea.
She's probably Detroit with her, like you know, it's probably a lot of moms in Detroit with their kids.
Which draft prospects have the finest moms?
Ranking the prospects solely on their moms.
You know what's funny? I don't know when this happened, but like even in the NBA draft, when you see some of the moms, you'd be like, okay.
Well, I remember when Luka was drafted, people thought that was like his sister. Oh,
yeah,
his mom looked very young.
Was it Luka who brother punched somebody in the face?
No, that's Jokic.
Oh, Jokic.
I wouldn't mess with the Jokic brothers.
Well, you know what, by the way?
Can
those guys screw off?
The Jokic's?
What are they doing? They're like thugs.
I'm telling you, you should not mess with the Jokic brothers. They'll show up here and you'll be in trouble.
Come on.
Listen, I know we have Hugh to kind of stand up in case something happens. The Jokic brothers will take Hugh down.
If the Nuggets come here, I want the smoke from the Jokic brothers.
If the Jokic brothers come here, I'm going to fight for
you. No, you're running. No, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
We are in all big
trouble. We're grabbing things.
All right,
I'm at that age.
Can I please unveil number 10 on the big board?
We
got lost here. Number 10, Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. Jeremiah Trotter's awesome, and it'd be cool if they draft him.
You don't think it's happening, though?
Probably not. And Edgerrin Cooper's the best linebacker in the draft. I put him at number 10. So my big board, I'd be happy if any of these guys end up Eagles. Cooper DeJean, defensive back, Iowa. Leiatu Latu, edge rush, UCLA. No. Quinyon Mitchell, corner, Toledo. Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. J.C. Latham, offensive line, Alabama. Terrion Arnold, corner, Alabama. Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State. By the way, he's got a good name. Amarius Mims, O-line, Georgia. Xavier Worthy, receiver, Texas. And Edgerrin Cooper, Texas A&M. 215-592-9494. We'll hit your calls and a huge Sixers game tonight. Some interesting audio from Nick Nurse about the missed timeout, and the Sixers could be getting some big help back tonight. All coming up next on the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The future of medicine is here at QC Kinetics. QC is the nation's leader in the most exciting revolution in pain management we've seen in decades. Regenerative medicine. If you are tired of achy joints, if your joint pain is keeping you from doing what you love, you need to call my friends at QC Kinetics right now. Surgery, steroids, drugs, these are no longer your best options. Regenerative medicine at QC Kinetics is transforming lives with innovative treatments that deliver lasting results. We're talking natural biologics here, people, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of National Medical Director, Dr. Mitchell Shinecup. Dr. Shinecup is a pioneer in this field with 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He wants to get you relief with a needle and not a knife. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more about some exciting options. This is a revolutionary approach that gets you long-term relief with no downtime. Call QC Kinetics now for a free consultation at 215-999-3000. 215-999-3000. One more time, 215-999-3000. QC Kinetics.
Well, the last couple of days, yesterday I was able to, you know, get up and down, get some live action in, so that was really good for me and my body. Today I went to practice, so I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm ready for the game tomorrow, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
A potential big boost for the Sixers. The voice there of D'Anthony Melton, who sounds like he's in to play tonight. And I feel like we've not talked enough about how much they miss this guy. D'Anthony Melton's a good player. Averaged over 11 points a game, 38% from three.
Yeah, we need that.
He's good. And it's very bizarre what has happened, Hugh, with his injury and his timeout. So he has not I'll say it this way. He's played in two games since the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and played 15 minutes against the Pistons on April 9th. He played 5 minutes against the Magic, second to last game of the season. Has not dressed again. He didn't play in the final game, didn't play in the Heat game, didn't play in the first two games against the Knicks. Before that, he had played three games in February. Before that, he originally started to be out in January. This is almost like lingered since January, because he had really started off the season well.
What was his injury?
Back injury. So okay, now,
yeah, tidy back.
Yeah, well, he's been in and out, and it's like twice they've ramped him back up to play. They got him back in, and then he's back out for a while. I don't know what to expect tonight. I'm not going to hold my breath and say he's going to give them 35 minutes after not playing much, but if he can go, that's a boost.
Yeah, and you need a boost. I think it's all hands on deck. Now, that's the first thing that I was thinking when I heard his name of potentially being out there, young Thundercat. All hands are on deck right now. We need all the scoring we can get.
Well, they do, and he's a player that could play both sides of the basketball, and he could shoot, he could play defense. That's a big boost. All right, let's also hear from Nick Nurse. Still answering questions about the timeout that wasn't and the inbound that went awry for the Sixers. Here was Nurse yesterday talking about all this.
Feedback from the NBA about the officiating.
Clock hit midnight after that game and I moved on.
Okay.
I always give it till midnight and then we move on. Get ready for the next one.
She told Nick, can I follow up kind of on that? How much thought did you, after Brunson hits the three, how much thought did you put into calling a timeout right there so you could have taken the ball out at half court and used the whole court?
Yeah, I explained that after the game. What we do and what you saw us do is what we do is Kyle always races to the ball really quickly, as he did. He turns, he takes a look. Normally, if he doesn't have it right away, we take timeout. And that's kind of what I waited for him to do that. Obviously, going back now, you say, oh, geez, I sure wish we would have taken it right away when the ball went in. But that's like anybody can make those decisions after the game. But that's what we do. Probably done it 40-plus more times with Kyle that exact way.
It's interesting, Hugh. He kind of put it on Lowry. Like, he trusts him to read the defense, read the inbound, and if he doesn't
kind of threw him under the bus just a little bit.
A little bit.
I mean,
I guess what he's saying is because he has Lowry, he's not going to just call the timeout. He's going to trust him see the court.
I mean, hindsight being 20/20. I don't know how I feel about him putting it on a player like that. I mean, it is up to the point guard to know the flow, ebb and flow of the game. But, you know, I think in a situation like that, as a coach, got to kind of give him a heads up. Hey, man, you might want to, you know, just in case. Because it's a lot going on during the course of the game, man. And just to say that, you know, you expected him to do it like that, that's not what's hot in the streets, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is showing full trust in him, though. Like, he's not going to jump over him and call the timeout. Where I think he really made the error was he needed to call the timeout after Brunson made the three. You move it to half court, and you give yourself the whole court of space to get that inbound in for Lowry to see the court better. I think after that, then it just became a matter of timing. I don't mind that he trusted Lowry. He could have just put it on himself, though.
Yeah, he could have did that.
He could have just took the blame.
Like, that's what good coaches do. You know, you take the heat for that one, even though you might have felt that way. I think he had one of those moments where, you know, you wish you could have not said that. But I think he felt that they had a good enough relationship where he could do that, and it's not being, you know, compartmentalized or anything like that.
Yeah. You know, I always wonder, too, like, there's the good and the bad of trust with coaches and players. Like, he trusted him totally. He's had him for years. Back in Toronto, they won a championship. Obviously, he's had him now here in Philadelphia. He trusted Lowry, and it just didn't work out for the Sixers. All right, what are we feeling tonight? Sixers are, last time I checked, 4.5-point favorites. It may have moved to 5. Are we feeling really good about tonight? Good?
Very good.
Very good.
Very, very good. I am. I mean, me personally, yeah. I feel great.
Well, so is it a lock? Lock it up?
I said in 4. I'm not wavering from that.
I like the Sixers tonight.
Well, even though it's going to be in 6, but four straight games.
Yeah, and Sixers and 4 was dead a while ago.
You knew it, but you knew what I meant.
I like the Sixers tonight to get their game.
If I know one thing about Philadelphia sports, it's that one of these two teams are going to gravely disappoint me tonight. I think it's going to be the Eagles. I have more of a feeling you're going to take an offensive lineman than I do that the Sixers are going to lose. I am going to be that guy, Hugh. I've been here for too long, rooting for these teams for too long, getting crushed by these teams for too long. One of them's going to screw me tonight. I'm guessing it's the Eagles. So I got the Sixers winning.
Well, long term, a Sixers win tonight and an offensive lineman is not going to be remembered as a bad night. The offensive line is probably going to be good.
Hopefully.
I mean, it might be remembered as a great night in Philadelphia sports. When Fuaga goes into the Eagles Hall of Fame one day.
And all I'll be thinking about is how pissed off I was.
When Fontano goes in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Terrible.
You'll be at the game cheering and remembering what you said the next day on WIP.
And we'll have 0 Super Bowls to show for.
No, stop. Because of this pick tonight.
Yep. They're going to blow their chances at winning the Bowl this year.
Yeah, all right. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll go back to your phone calls here in a second on all things Eagles. And we got to end. Well, here's how we'll end this hour. And we do have leading off with the Phillies coming up at 12. They play today at 1:10 first pitch in Cincinnati. Wheeler on the mound and Bryce Harper back in the lineup. We got a lot to talk about the Phillies coming up in the 12 o'clock hour with leading off. But we're going to end this hour with our official predictions for tonight. So we're going to give you who we want and who we think the Eagles will pick. But first, while we're on the Sixers, do we have a new Joe Conklin song here we have to hear?
We sure do.
Let's hear. Let's get ourselves ready to go with the newest from Conklin.
We're good, we're gonna win the series. We know what we gotta do, we gotta fix it. We're the better team.
We're coming home, our heads are up. Now our crowd is really pumped. Time to win, we're Philly tough. Home is where things come alive. Sixers fans are at our side, our team won't be denied. Our house, where we're gonna get the calls. Our house, and the ref will show some. Our house has a rocking crowd. It's where the winning's happening. Everybody's screaming loud. Sixer fans are so house proud. Nothing ever slows them down, and sulking's not allowed. Our house, it's the place we can't be beat. Our house, everybody's on their feet. Our house, no one's sitting in their seat. Our house, it's a place we can't be beat. Now it's time to ring the bell. The Philly crowd goes crazy, our fans will give them hell. Free throws that they'll be bricking. Time to take your licking, cause we're hungry for some chicken. Our house, it's the place we can't be beat. Our house, everybody's on their feet.
Josh Harris here. Actually, I don't like our house. What I really want to do is create a new house in Chinatown so I can stuff my pockets. Go Commando.
Our house.
I like that song.
Oh, it's a good one. Set a nice tone setting for tonight. See Joe Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra at the Jersey Shore this summer on Saturday, June 29th, Wildwood Catholic Academy in North Wildwood, and on Saturday, July 13th at the Ocean City Music Pier in Ocean City. For tickets, go to joeconklin.com. Yeah, you know what I would like tonight? I would like our house to have a good, positive memory. The Sixers, they've had some rough home playoff moments in the last few years. I need tonight to be a big, comfortable win. You know what I want to do?
What you want to do?
Well, I want at like, what time does this game tip? 7:30? 8? Somewhere around
if
there.
If it's a TNT game, then they usually tip like 5 minutes after the
okay. I want to be able to, in the fourth quarter, switch the screen over from the big screen on the Sixers to flip it, to put the draft on. I want a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. Is that too much to ask? Can I get a comfortable win?
That's way too much.
I don't think
it's going to be like that.
I see them in the NBA all the time. The Timberwolves blowing the doors off of the Suns, like they happen.
See the Sixers do it?
No. Well, I'm not saying they're going to win by 40. I just want a game where I feel like they got it. And I guess I thought we had it the other night, up 5 with 40 seconds to go. But I just want a comfortable win. That's all. Maybe Joel can get off the floor in the fourth quarter instead of, you know, hobbling up and down the court.
And now you're getting crazy.
All right.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a little hobbling. Probably going to be some hobbling.
Well, if they're up, he doesn't have to hobble as much. He could sit down. That's what I'm asking for tonight. Maybe it is too much to ask. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, Chris at Chalfon, he may have some inside info tonight on who the Eagles are to pick. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, What's up, Chris. What's up, buddy?
So, same as last year. I'm not telling you guys a prediction. I'm calling to let you know exactly what will happen.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay. Howie, everyone knows, is not a normal GM. He's an investment banker. He solves problems before they exist. And in recent years, he's kind of taken to be a bit of a showman. He likes to people please. So not just taking the practical pick, he likes the pretty and practical pick. Eagles will be trading up to stick with the trend of Georgia players. We are taking Brock Bowers. Now, I might not think that's the ideal player we need, but I'm not Howie Roseman. He knows that Dallas Goedert's contract expires after next season. Tight ends take a year or two to get into, up to scale for the NFL. It's the pick that makes sense long term, and it makes everyone in Philadelphia smile.
Well, Chris, we're saving this audio. If they trade up for Bowers tonight, we're playing this tomorrow. The logic you just put out, I understand it if they do it. I mean, they've done this thing with tight ends for a long time now, right? They did it when Selleck was older. They drafted Ertz. When Ertz was older, they drafted Goddard. I get it.
It's the exact same trend. It follows how he likes to repeat the same move if it makes sense, and this is the same move. Now, if someone steals Bowers in the top 10, then there's a couple guys we might look at, but as of right now, their sights are set. Brock Bowers is definitely the pick, and we're looking at the early teens, possibly right after the 10th.
Interesting.
Chris, good phone call, man. We will save this one. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's insane if he's right. I mean, I think every time we've talked about Bowers, we've referenced this tight end thing. They always have the contingency plan. But I think the last thing he said is the most important. It's got to get to a certain level. I'd be floored if they trade into the top 10 for a tight end from 22. Now, if he gets past the Jets, I'm not sure where he's going. The Colts I've seen a lot, and that could be interesting with Steichen and Anthony Richardson. But I don't know if there's like a perfect spot for Brock Bowers.
By the way, so much respect for instead of because, you know, we get the other side. They'll go, I just want the best player available. Coward. Instead of saying, this is who I want, here's my guy, telling us who they are going to take.
This is what's going to happen.
That's ballsy. I love that.
That's a real prediction right there. And he has, this particular caller, has hit their picks in recent years. I mean, I like this. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if he said this on the air, he told me that he called John and Ike last year and said they were going to trade up for Jalen Carter.
And that, so the trade up part,
that's big.
Carter was
right.
Widely mocked, but they did trade up one spot to ensure they had him.
And he also apparently, now this is, I have not dug up the audio of when he called into John and Ike, but he said that he also had them trading for DeAndre Swift. Callers were sources.
I mean, the Swift one's pretty good.
That's
a big
one.
Yeah, the Carter one, I think most people could have guessed.
Yes. But the DeAndre Swift
felt like it was trending that way. It did feel like the Carter.
Wow, you guys want a sexy pick. Trading up for Brock Bowers would be the definition of a sexy pick.
That would be freaking awesome.
How excited? You got to have a Brock Bowers jersey.
No.
Yeah, no, you have to. You got to.
Nah,
we'll buy you one.
Nah,
we'll order one
definitely
tomorrow. Wow. I mean, he's your guy. Why not?
I mean, can't wear another man's jersey. Why not? I got a jersey. You know what's funny about that, though? I have a Dallas Goedert jersey.
That's still
in the box.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're
allowed. What's wrong with wearing another man's jersey?
I'm not wearing another man's jersey.
Why not? It's not like you have to go kiss him.
No, it's
just
not.
Wear his jersey.
I'm not doing that.
Well, jerseys are cool. I'm just saying, if you're the one banging the drum for Bowers.
Oh, so now I got to wear the jersey.
No, you may have to return the Goddard jersey. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but like, here, dog.
Sorry. I wanted your replacement. Brian in Clifton Heights. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys.
What's up, Brian?
Guys? How you doing?
Good. What are you feeling?
Well, you know, on this draft pick, I'm feeling Bowers myself, if we're correctly. But if not, I'm going with a guard to start, because last year the Eagles' problem on offense was they did not catch many balls over the middle of the field. And when Hurts, what's Hurts do best? What does he run as the offense? He runs the RPO.
Yep.
When you blow up the RPO, what is Hurts going to do? And, you know, and Juergens was out six games last year, or five games. Kelce missed zero in 6 years. So now if Juergens gets hurt again, we don't know if he's injury prone. We don't know if Steen can play. So I don't want a guy, if I'm drafting a lineman at 12 or 15 or 20, he's going to be my starter. He's going to play 16 games. I'm not looking for depth. I'm looking for a guy to contribute, and we don't know if Steen can play. And, you know, Hurts got beat up the middle, and he did not throw the ball towards the middle of the field. And what that always leads me, is it the coaches, is it Hurts, or is it Goddard? But regardless, Goddard did not contribute for what he made. I've been a big proponent of trying to trade this guy. I don't think he's that good. I think he's an average player. You know, and he makes a lot of money on an average team. And if you're going to think about ringing up AJ Brown, you have to have a guy making less money, you know, as your skill player set.
Oh, totally. And on top of this, now we're paying a running back a lot. So there's a lot. All the skill players here make a lot of money now.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. What these teams are doing now? They're clogging the middle, and their defensive ends are staying home, and they're not letting this guy get around the end. So can Hurts hit with the new running back, what's his name?
Saquon.
Can he hit Saquon on a little screen out of the backfield? Can he hit, you know, the tight end over the middle? Because that's the way you beat this defense and what they're playing. And last year, I didn't see Jalen or the offensive coordinator beat that all year.
They didn't.
Them in the middle of the
field. Well, and to get the most out of Barkley, and Brian, we appreciate the phone call, to get the most out of Barkley, they're going to have to do that. They're going to have to block it up front for him to run and dump it off to him. All right, let's give out our final predictions here. So we'll be back on at 6, you and I, for the beginning of our draft coverage tonight from Lincoln Financial Field. So we got leading off in a few minutes, and then we'll hand it over to the Phils after the Phillies today. Here's how it works on WIP. The afternoon show will pick up as soon as the Phillies are done this afternoon from the link with Spike and Jack and Ike. And then at 6 o'clock, and I believe DeCamera is going to join the crew coming up, you know, whenever they come on, 4 o'clock or whatever today after the baseball game. And then at 6 o'clock, Hugh and I will be back. Jack's going to be with us. Elliot, Ike, it's going to be a ton of fun.
It's going to be a long day.
8 o'clock, I get tagged out for Glenn Mack now. But let's, Hugh, let's make our predictions as of now. So let's do two things. Who we want and then who we think. Who we want them to draft tonight and who we actually think the pick will end up being. Hugh,
easy for me.
Well, go ahead. All right,
I want Brock Bowers. Who I think they're going to pick is Brock Bowers.
Oh, wow.
You know what, Hugh?
Mr. Georgia.
If they do get him, you have to get his jersey.
You do.
I know.
You are a Bulldog.
Yeah.
I mean, Ike was right. You're an honorary Georgia Bulldog.
Yeah.
Have to get over that little thing.
Yeah,
that's not a little thing.
It's a piece of cloth, Hugh.
It is a little thing.
It's ridiculous.
Cloth with somebody else's name.
So
on
what?
It.
He's your guy.
Are you an Eagles fan or not?
I am a diehard Eagles fan.
Uh-huh.
I'm not doing that.
We're just going to buy this and expense it. I mean, this is
just like we're going to get you Trine Foods. You're wearing Brock Bowers jersey.
Okay, so Hugh's on the record. Bowers.
Bowers.
Here's what I'm going with tonight. The player I want is Cooper DeJean. He's my guy. You heard. Number one on my big board. I think Cooper DeJean's going to be an impact defensive back. And safety, corner. He's a defensive back that could play 90 snaps and also do everything you want him to do at whatever position. I think he's going to be a really good player. He's who I want. Who I think they're drafting an offensive lineman. I mean, that's what I think is going to happen tonight. My best guess, just based on guys they brought in here, the history. He's got what a certain player he could take the place of one day. I think Tyler Guyton at Oklahoma is a guy that makes a lot of sense. Now, they could trade up for someone better. I mean, I who knows who's going to be there. But if they sit at 22, Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma, feels like an Eagles pick. Lane takes him under his wing for a few years, and he's either a guard and eventually the right tackle of the future. So I want DeJean. My guess is Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma. Kyle, who do you want? Who do you think?
So I trust Howie to do the smart thing and not take an offensive lineman in this draft. I would say the one that I want the most, I'm with you. I want Brock Bowers because, you know, I was in on a receiver / weapon yesterday.
Yeah, he's a weapon.
I think a tight end is more of an area of need than wide receiver is currently. And I think two tight end sets with Kellen Moore is going to be a big deal. I want Brock Bowers. And I was going to say Cooper DeJean until that caller with sources called in and said we're getting Brock Bowers. So I'm officially staking Brock Bowers.
So you guys really think we're getting Brock Bowers tonight? You guys are wild.
That caller just told us,
Joe. Wild. I know.
You don't believe him?
No, I don't. Not that I don't believe him.
It sounds like you don't.
Well, I mean, he could also just go 10 to the Jets, and then he's off the board. And then, like, what are the Eagles going to do? They're going to have to do something else.
Well, he just told us what they're going to do.
Well, if they trade into the top 10 for a tight end.
I trust all of our callers.
I do, too.
And they're not always right, but I trust them. I always trust them. All right, let's quickly go to Terrence. Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How y'all feeling?
Good, Terrence. What are you thinking?
Hey, it's not what I think, it's what I know. Kool-Aid McKinstry got to be the pick. We got to stay at 22 and we got to take him. I firmly believe he got a higher upside than Terrion. He might be the second or third best corner. He a true freshman, ran a 4-4 with a broke foot at his pro day. And he's very physical. We want people that's going to get in there and get physically tackled, not scared of the hit. That's him. I don't understand why any of these callers, how can you say, we don't know if Tyler Steen can play? If that's how you truly feel, what makes you so confident that drafting a guard in the first round, he's going to come in and be able to play? And when have the Eagles ever drafted a tight end in the first round?
Well, they don't. Yeah, I mean, it's been
never.
Terrence, it'd be rare. I mean, it'd be unprecedented, really, for them. Terrence, we appreciate it. Kool-Aid's interesting. I mean, he's a guy that's slipped now, it seems, in mock drafts, and a guy that might go at the end of the first round now.
Just really quick, Herb called and wanted to get on record that he was first to say the Eagles will get Brock Bowers.
Okay. So it's a source off.
This is Herb's source.
It's a source off.
Source off. It's a source off. We're all Mel Kiper today.
The source off.
Just need to get that.
We have ourselves a baseball game coming up. On the other side, we'll get you set for the Phillies and the Reds. We need to win today. I don't want the Phillies to lose 3 out of 4 in sits today. They need to get the split today. We'll talk about today's game. Bryce Harper is back from paternity leave. They got an issue with one part of this lineup, and it's not Rojas. He could play. It's another outfielder. And, of course, the Spencer Turnbull decision. 215-592-9494. We'll get set for the Phillies and the Reds leading off next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.